Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read beginning with verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I want to go back to verse 16. Spend a little time just taking these verses and listening to the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to us. In verse 16, there's some key words in verse 16 that really establishes what he's saying. The one most important verse in here, riches that he would grant you, he would grant you according to riches of his glory. And then the word strengthened with might. And then every single word is powerful. But let's look at what he's saying. He's talking about a part of us that we've neglected. There's a part here of us that we have forgotten about, we don't know about maybe. And it's called the inner man. The inner man. The inner man. You see, there's something called the hidden man of the heart. The inner man, the real you. That's the only part God's going to deal with. We think God talks to our head. He doesn't talk to our head. We think God talks to our thinking processes. He doesn't talk to you in your thinking processes. God doesn't talk to you in your soul. God doesn't even deal with you on a soul level. Not at all. Your emotions are so changeable. Your emotions are like the wind. One day you could be happy and the next day you could be down in the gutter. God doesn't have anything to do with all that. He talks to you through the Spirit, your inner man, the Spirit, the real you. The real me is the only part that God will strengthen. It's the only part of me that God will talk to. It's the only part of me that God indwells. It's the only part of me and you that God really, really communicates to us through. That's how he talks to us, through the Spirit, the inner man. And we want to hear God in the wind. We want to hear God in the fire. We want to hear God in this, but he says he speaks to us in a small, still voice through the inner man, the Spirit. We want God to do something shaking in our lives. We want God to show up and do something magnificent. And we miss the greatest thing that he really wants to do, and that's this right here, that he would grant us, he will grant us. Grant me, God. This is a prayer. This is a prayer we all better be praying. Father, I'm seeking you and asking you to grant me. And he's going to grant, and he says, according to the riches in your riches of glory, grant me. Mm-hmm. Grant me according to the riches of his glory. That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. That's true. How big is God? How much glory does God have? How big is Almighty God? Have anybody just sat and thought about how big God is? How big is God? How big is his riches? How big is his glory? How much riches does God have? How awesome is God? Well, he says, God, grant me to be strengthened according to the riches of your glory, let me be strengthened. Now, what's he talking about, be strengthened? What's this be strengthened about? We all understand the word strong. I would say this thing right here is pretty strong. That's a strong piece of several thousands of pounds sitting on this thing, that I-beam. This is a big old building. There's three levels in this building. And this thing is bearing some weight. Concrete floors, every floor is a concrete floor. But I'm going to tell you something, strong. God wants you strong. He wants you strong in the power of His might. He wants you to be strengthened. And the only way to be strengthened in the things of the kingdom is through your inner man. We want to get strengthened in our bodies. I like exercise. I like working out. We want to get strengthened in the right way we eat. We want to be strengthened in our natural man, our body. But there's some place in us that has got to get strengthened. And we've got to get in touch with God, because a lot of people are perishing for the lack of knowledge right now. A lot of people are making wrong decisions, making big mistakes. I mean big, big time mistakes. Big time. How many here would say, if I had only heard from God, I wouldn't have done what I did in my past? If I really, really heard God and really knew it was God, I would have never done what I did. If I'd really listened to God, if I really had God, you know, was really in tune with God and really knew it was God, how do you get there? You know, how do you get there? There is a way to get there. And it's going to be not as hard as you think. Because it's as simple as believing this prayer right here. It's as simple as believing this prayer and accepting it and wanting it and saying, God, I've got to be strengthened. I've got to be strengthened in my inner man. And I got to be strengthened that you, and I ask you, God, to please grant me to be strengthened by your spirit, let me be strengthened by your spirit in my inner man. That ought to be the very most important prayer we ever pray for ourselves, that right there. You start there in your prayer life, and you trust God to say a big old fat yes to this. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to have this. God is so more eager to give us this kind of strength than we are to even want it. The problem is we don't even want it. A lot of people don't even know they need it. A lot of people have no idea there is such a thing as an inner man. What's this inner man? An inner man? What's an inner man? I know I think thoughts and I have emotional driven things, and you know, my body talks to me. When I'm hungry, I go get something to eat. When I want to go somewhere, I go get in the car and I go. You know, I'm just so driven here and driven there, and I go where I want to go and I do what I want to do. And some people are so stubborn that God can't get across to them what He wants them to do. But if we will be strengthened with might, strengthened with might. You know, when I think of the word might, you know, I don't think about the strength and the might of this piece of machinery or beam or whatever this is. I don't think about the might or the strength of a big old bulldozer that can move mountains. I don't think about the strength and the might of an atomic bomb even. But when I'm thinking about what He's talking about here, I know He's talking about God's strength and God's might. And your very being, the real you. An awesome thought. Be strengthened. God knows how to strengthen you. He knows how to gird you up. He knows how to build you up. He knows how to do all those things. Might. Accessible might. Accessible strength. Hallelujah. It's accessible. It's like it's not that far away. Do you know, this morning we were worshiping God. I knew that it was like I could see my spirit penetrating light years to get to the presence of God. Wow. See, your spirit can travel in time and space and your body can't. Wow. Your mind can't go there, but your spirit man can be in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Light years off in the physical, but I'm telling you, a different dimension. Mm-hmm. You can be right there with your spirit, mm-hmm. the real you. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there is no limits to what God can give you and the strength that you can have. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. No greater call, no greater position, no greater place to live out your lifetime. And then right here, that Christ is dwelling in your heart. Christ is in me. I know Jesus is in me. And where does He in me? He's in my inner man. He's in my inner man. He is in me, my inner man. Part of me. And that faith is the part of your faith walk, your faith life. See, very few people dare to do this. Very few people dare to walk by faith because it's it takes a little effort to walk by faith. For one thing, the biggest effort is your flesh. Mm-hmm. Your flesh will fight you every single inch of the way. Your flesh has a voice. Your emotions have a voice. Your thinker has a voice. You'll talk yourself out of walking by faith. I'm talking not the real you. The real you wants to do this. The real you is the inner man you. But it's the mind you. It's the emotion you that you're going to have to battle. Because until you see yourself as three different parts, how far we've fallen. I, thinking about this, I said, oh God, how far mankind has fallen. When they fail in the garden, it was a complete, total reversal fail from knowing God in the way I'm talking about today. But because of what Jesus did, it's been restored back to the believer. I mean, we have been given the awesome privilege, but how many take advantage of it? Step into this way of life. It's so been here for 2,000 years, and there's been a few who have ventured in to the inner man way of life. But it's a warfare struggle. I mean, you know, it's the good fight of faith going on, because your mind will tell you no, no, no. But this is the next part of that verse in 17. Get rooted. Get grounded. Get rooted and get grounded. Get rooted and grounded in what? Get rooted and grounded in what? What do you get rooted and grounded in? I shared the other night about a seed. And that seed being the Word of God. That Word of God can be, it's just a seed. The words are just a seed on a page. They're just there, and you look at them, and you read them, and you can pick up a seed and look at it, and you can say, oh, that's a pretty seed, or that's a bean seed, or that's a corn seed, and you can say, oh, yeah, that's a seed. But until you do something with that seed, it is not going to have a root develop. Until you do something with that seed, it's not going to have a sprout develop. And then it's not going to produce any fruit until you sit and water it and nurture it and love it and protect it and get established in it. And then you can develop some serious fruit in your life through the inner man. Because the Word of God is not a natural word to natural man. It's a word to spiritual men and women. It's a word to your spirit. It talks to you, your spirit, the inner man part. This is where, by faith, Jesus literally became the Word of God. He became the Word of God. The Word in 1 John says, 1 John, the very first opening of 1 John, he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the seed that was planted so we could have the seed of the Word planted in us. And so we've got to allow the Word of God to dwell in our hearts by faith, because anything you get from God, I'm going to tell you right straight up here right now, I know for fact, if you're going to get anything from God, you're going to get it by faith. You get anything from God, you're going to have to be just like Abraham. When God said, I'm going to make you a mighty nation, he had to believe that by faith. He tried to help God out in the natural, but it didn't work, did it? Because God expects us to believe his word. He expected Abraham to believe his word. He expected Moses to believe his word. You can't find a place where God ever just said, oh, it's optional. It's not optional. I don't have an optional decision here. God, I don't think I'll believe your word. I think I'd rather have a sign or a wonder or a fleece. How about if I ask you to do this? And you might just get fleeced if you start fleecing God. See, there was a time in Old Testament times when that's all they had. But see, now Christ lives in your heart. And this is where we're in a whole different dispensation. We're under the new covenant walk with God, where Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So the key is, now that we know that, let's get rooted in it. Let's get grounded in it. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to Teresa here. Because I know better. I just know better than to do some of the things I do or say some of the things I say. Because I'm out of faith when I do it. Do you know my spirit man knows the moment I sin, the moment I lie, the moment I say anything or do anything outside of this word. This word is my plumb line. This word is my guide. This word is my measuring tape. This word is my guidepost. And if my spirit knows the word, and the more you know the word, the better off you are. And the minute my spirit man will say, oh, Teresa, you missed it. You just opened the door to the devil. You better shut that door. And I repent. I don't want the devil having no access to my life. We give him access with our mouth because we don't know no better most of the time. Oh, I feel a pain. Oh, I'm sick. Well, you just gave the devil a legal right to help you out there. Let's establish that truth. You believe it. Let's just establish it. I'm sick. You'll never get me to say that. I don't care how I feel because I listen to my inner man because I've got the word in there and the word is what I go by. It's my guidepost. It's my guideline. See, it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. I don't consult my flesh anymore. I live by God's word. His word is the truth. Jesus said, he said, the flesh profits nothing. Profits nothing. In St. John chapter 6, you can mark that. St. John chapter 6, I believe it's in verse 63. St. John 6:63 said, the spirit quickeneth. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. See, Jesus never said anything but what he heard the Father say. He never said anything but what God said because he believed by faith everything. You want to see somebody living out the Word of God by faith? That's Jesus. Everything Jesus did, he did it by faith in the Father. Faith in the Word. Faith in who the Word was. Jesus even said that when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's what you live by. And Jesus even said, the one place he said, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free. If you don't like your circumstances, if you don't like the things the devil's put on your life, hear this. Hear this important word I'm going to share with you. If you are unhappy right now with your circumstances, then please do yourself a favor and change it. What do you mean change it? You have more rights and responsibilities about your own destiny and your own life than you realize. Just that verse in Jeremiah 29, 10, 11, 12. I know what I'm thinking. But you don't know what I'm thinking. I know my plans, but you don't know my plans. It's urgent that we know the plans of God and the plans that God has for us, or we'll never walk in them. Because you can only walk in them by faith out of your spirit, your inner man. God already knows what he had for my life. He knew my destiny. I just had to find out what it was. That's why it says, and you'll find me. You'll find your destiny. You'll find me when you search for me with all your inner man, your heart. Your inner man and your heart is the same you. That's you. That's the real you. But you got to want God more than anything else before you'll follow his plan. Because you got to just really sell out, be honest with you. You got to really want God. But when you want God and you find God, you realize, wow, it's like the proverb or the parable that talks about that a man goes out and he finds a field. He runs out and he kicks something on. What is that? And he starts digging, and there is a huge treasure chest of gold and pearls. And, oh, my goodness, there's so much wonderful stuff in this box. Who owns this field? Buy it. You'll pay. You'll sell your house. You'll sell everything you got to come up with the money because that price can't compare to what you just found in that field. That's the way it is serving God. When you find out how rich God is, the riches of his glory, when you find out how powerful, how awesome, how glorious, how wonderful, I mean, when you really see it, you'll sell out anything. Oh, ain't nothing bigger than that. Nothing worth giving up for that. Do you understand what I'm coming from? Because that's where he wants us strengthened. That's the kind of strength he wants us to have. And verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I love him so much. But do I love him less than when I or the same as when I first met him. I love him more. I love him way more. I started out serving God out of fear, to be honest with you. I mean, he's in my kitchen. And I realized he's Almighty God, and I better whatever he says, you know. I always pictured God ready to get me. I didn't know what a wonderful God of love he was. But as I've served him and as I've looked to him and decided I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to do it your way, I really started by fear. I didn't start walking by faith because I was so in love with God, because I didn't really know God. But I started living for God because I just didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted to go to heaven, and I know God's real. And those were my guideposts. Those were my guidelines right there. I knew nothing else. Knew nothing else. But as I began to step out by faith and live for God, I saw he started to let me comprehend something. There started some spiritual comprehension and mental comprehension. And I began to connect the dots from my spirit to my head. And I began to read the Word of God, and it became more real to me as I would say, well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. And this is a wonderful thing. And I wish I could just believe that. And I mean, just on and on, and it began to grow. But see, that little seed was planted in my heart, and it became more than a seed. It's now more than a seed to me. The Word of God is more than a seed. It's a plant that's bearing fruit now. It's part of my life now. It's so rooted in me, the devil would have to take a bulldozer to get it out. And he can't do it. I'm rooted and grounded in this thing called love. I'm rooted and grounded in something called the Word of God. And God is love. That's what you want. You want to be strengthened with all might by your spirit in the inner man. You want to be rooted and grounded in love. You want to be able to comprehend what is the length, the depth, the breadth, the height, and to know the love of God that passeth all understanding. You really need that to live in this wicked world, to deal with the devil. I hate the devil, but he's real, and he's subtle, and he's cunning, he's clever, he's crafty, he's intelligent, he's an evil genius, and he will plot and plan your demise if it takes him years to do it. He doesn't care. He's got eternity. He knows how to work on us. I'm going to tell you right now, he knows how to deal with us. He knows how to twist our thinking. He knows how to manipulate our words and our minds and our thoughts and use them against us. In fact, you'll think you're thinking the thought when it isn't even your thought. It's his thought helping you out. So that's why it's so important to get rooted in the Word, in the heart, in the inner man, and be aware that you have a real you. A real you is the real you. And the real, and your mind, you have a mind. Of course we have a mind. We have a mind. We have a soul. We have a will. We have emotions. We have all that part. The soul part is a very important part of who we are. But it's not you. You possess that soul. You're supposed to be in control of what you think. You're supposed to be in the one in the driver's seat of your emotions. You're the one that controls whether you're sad. You're the one who controls whether you're happy. You're the one who is supposed to be driving that emotional person of you. You're not supposed to let the emotional man control your life. Ever. How many years did I let the devil use my soul to almost destroy me? Use my emotions to almost kill me. Oh, just kill yourself. People do it every day because they do not know. That's just their emotions. Emotions will come and emotions will go. You could just get somebody who's ready to kill themselves or jump off of a bridge to realize if you just don't do it, give it a week or so, you'll be rosy again because emotions come and go. They're just changeable. But I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about something that is so rooted and so grounded and so powerful and so strong that it doesn't matter what your emotions tell you, you've got an anchor to the soul. The Word of God is the anchor to the person's soul. Now, we're not talking about sinners. Sinners don't have access to anything I'm sharing. It's only the believer who has this kind of comprehension. You can comprehend this. You can say, hey, God has given me the ability. He's given me the ability here to see this. He's going to give me this. You can seek him for it. Find me. You'll know. You're going to know the truth. Truth will make you free. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. You can really know how much Jesus, how wild he is about you. You know, I used to want someone to love me so bad. God, I just want someone to love me No one ever loved me. Poor me. They cared about me. And that's the truth. I mean, I'm just not making that up. That's the truth. That's the truth. That really is the truth. I mean, that is not something I'm just making up. And I would have a special little place where I just feel so sorry for me because it's the truth. Ain't nobody loved me until I met Jesus. Until I met Jesus. Until I met a man named Jesus who loves me. He's crazy about me. And I can say, Lord, give me friends. Give me. He so wants me to have favor with people. He wants people to love me. He wants people to love me. He wants people to like me. He said, well, you're going to have to be a little likable before they like you. Man, but he'll help you straighten that out too. You can't be smacking people's side of the head and expect them to turn around and like you. You can't be cussing people out and expect them to like you. God will show you how to have friends. You got to have a friend. You got to show yourself friendly. You got to be tolerant of people. When people are tolerant of you, you be tolerant of them. You want people to have mercy for you, you have mercy for them. That's all part of a connection with people, our relationships. But the root of it all is to know how much God loves you and how much he wants to prosper you and how much he wants to do for you and how much he wants to bless you and how much he wants to comfort you and strengthen you and help you and just live out your life to its fullest, to enjoy life, to be a blessing to other people, to be able to just feel so good about yourself, to feel so happy about life. You know, get up every day and say, man, this is an adventure I'm in. And I know God loves me. And if God loves me, it's like I used to say, here, Jesus, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Let you and me just save the world. Come on. And I would lead the Lord in a charge. I'm going to win the world for you, Jesus. I'm going to save the world. I ran people off. I'd go to the street corners. I'd go to town. My family had nothing to do with me. Don't come around you. You witnessed everybody. They'd have social gatherings at my parents' home, and every single person heard about Jesus before they, and they was leaving. You're running everybody off, Teresa. Don't you know there's a real God, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell? And so anyway, the Lord had to help me because I always had a zeal for God, but he had to help me understand that ain't how you do it. That ain't how you win. That ain't how you win the lost. You know, I believe in God has begun to teach me how to win the lost. And you know how you do it? You love them. You love them. You love people, but another part of that is pray for people. You know, I'm going to tell you one other secret I've learned is that you can just absolutely hate somebody. Absolutely just cringe to get around them. But if you will spend time getting before God and let your inner man see that person in hell for eternity and start, get your yardstick, the right yardstick out, this yardstick. Mm-hmm. Begin to see the reality of hell. Comprehend. Mm-hmm. Comprehend some things. And see the reality of that eternal picture. Because, you know, eternity is a long, 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 long time. It's without end. It's never going to end. Can you imagine there's people going to be in hell for eternity? You just have to comprehend that one. Now, that person who's evil and mean and hateful and mistreating you and whatever they've done, you cannot hate them anymore when you start comprehending things right. You cannot hate them anymore if you get on your knees and pray for that person. It changes you. It changes the way you feel even. It affects your emotions. But that's not where you start. I don't start with my emotions. So my emotions are saying, I don't want it. I hope they go to hell. That's the emotional man. You understand? That's not me. That's not the real me. But as you comprehend, have you ever been so mad at people you just hope they go to hell? Told them to go to hell. Then you don't even comprehend what you're saying. But you can't love you. I'm telling you, get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and pray with all your heart for that soul that they don't go to hell. Because you know that's where they're going. You know that's what's going to happen. And this is my favorite part. filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. Now, when you get filled with the fullness of God, it says there's something going to be in there. Guess what's, when you're filled with the fullness of God, you know what you're filled with? You're filled with power. You're filled with God. You're filled with the fullness of God. You're talking dynamite here. That's where they get the word dynamite, is dunamis. The word dynamite is dunamis, the power, the ability to make things, blow things up, change things. I said a minute ago, if you don't like your circumstances, change it. You can change it. Did you know you can change it? We're always asking God to come down and do something when he says, I give you authority. I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. I'm asking my church to be the church, and I'm expecting the church to put the enemy under her footstool. Put the enemy under her feet. Let me say that again. God is expecting, Jesus is expecting his church to be his church. He says he's seated at the right hand of God, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Put him under his feet. He's waiting on us to do. Who's his feet? We are. Who's on the earth? We are. Where's the devil? On the earth. You get to heaven, you're not going to need to know all this because it, you know, won't be, you know, fight then. But you want to fight the devil in heaven. We don't need to know. We're going to know all this anyway. But we really need to know it now. We really need to know how to deal with the enemy. And he works through people. You know, the greatest thing God ever taught me was so many things he's taught me. But one thing he's taught me is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If we could ever start comprehend that little nugget of truth. Comprehend that fully. That when you see somebody spitting and cussing in your face, that's not the person. That's a demon working through that person. I was married to the meanest man. I think he was the meanest man ever. And I used to think, he is so out there. I mean, take shotguns and blow out windows and just the crazy stuff. But one morning, I was awakened with a pecking on my hand, like this, pecking on the back. Just peck yourself on the back of your hand. I'm asleep. I'm sound asleep. And I started feeling this pecking on the back of the bony part of my hand with fingernails. And it was annoying. And it woke me up. And I opened my eyes, and there was a black, hairy monkey's hand pecking on my hand. I'm laying there in bed. The fingernails were about that long, and they were solid black, ugly fingernails. Ugh. And its hand was huge. It was hairy like a monkey's hand. And it was poking me like this. I'm awake. I saw it with my eyes. I opened my eyes and saw it. But see, what I was really seeing was my spiritual eyes, the inner man part of me, my eyes. You have a counterpart to everything in the spirit that you do in the outward part. And I'm laying there like this in bed on my back, and this hand is doing this. I took this hand and I grabbed it like this and to stop it. And it turned into my ex-husband's hand immediately. It was like he was there in bed. And he wasn't in bed. He wasn't in bed. But see, those spirits follow people. Demonic things are real. If we just comprehend that, oh God, help us comprehend what we need to comprehend. Help us comprehend that we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places, the rulers of darkness of this world. There are demons. And I believe that we have seen something has changed. I don't know if anybody has felt it, but in the last 2 years, there has been more evil released out of the pit. I believe more demons have come up out of the pit. In fact, the Bible says there's some demons that are reserved for this last days, are still in chains. They're coming out. They're coming out. But look at verse 20. See, you can get excited about it myself. You can get excited because, man, I tell you what, you got all the power you need to deal with the devil. He really is not a very big devil when you compare him to God. You know, you compare, if you just focused on the mouse, and the mouse could freak you out, but just focus on an elephant next to the mouse. You know what I mean? It's like comprehend. Let's comprehend things correctly. God is on your side. God is in you. You're God, be God inside minded. And then he says, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's that dunamis. That's what's supposed to be working. How does it work? It works. It works. I'm not sure how it all works, but it works. It's working in me. I know it's working in me. If I don't like the way somebody is treating me, or if I don't like the way that things have happened or circumstances have come along and happened, probably 90% of our problems are people, you know? And if you think that you're going to escape people, well, then you're going to have to leave the planet to escape people, really, or buy an island somewhere and live alone. And that's no fun. I mean, I'd be bored. I like people. God loves people. God's crazy about people. God loves people. That person that you're having problems with, God's crazy about them. He loves them. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus died for everybody. Let me give you some more verses here. James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1, 21. I've got a two-hour message that I'm cutting short. But it's a good message. James chapter 1, verse 21. I don't know if you've ever looked at this verse, but I'm going to share with you what he's saying here. There's a part of you that needs to be saved. We all got born again. You say, oh, you need to get saved, brother. You got to get saved, sister. You need to get saved. Tell people all the time, you need to get saved. Well, what am I getting saved from? Well, you're getting saved from yourself, for one thing. Because your old self will send yourself to hell. And you need to get born again so you can be redeemed back to God and go to heaven. But after you get that under your belt and that happens, once you get born again and you do get redeemed back to God, there's a part of you that still needs to get saved. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Your soul is a problem. It's as much a problem as people's a problem. My soul is my biggest problem that I deal with. My soul. That's your mind. That's your will. That's your emotions. We want God to talk to our minds, and He doesn't talk to our minds. We want God to talk to our feelings and make us feel good. God is not in your feelings. You can never, ever know God by your feelings. You can never know God by your emotions. You can't live by your feelings. You can't, oh, it feels like it's right. You better not be going there. It feels like it's okay. You better not be going by your feelings. Well, I feel like God said this, or I feel. No, that ain't God. That's you. That's your soul. That's your feelings. The only thing that'll save your soul is the Word. The engrafted Word saves the soul. And who is the engrafted Word? Jesus is the engrafted Word. I just read a verse here, and I just read in Ephesians where he talked about that you got to be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and to know the love of God that passes all understanding. Christ has got to be dwelling in your heart by faith. And that's why you're dealing with the heart now in one area. Now we're moving into the soul realm. And now he's talking about something completely different here. This is not the heart. He's talking about your soul. Your soul is not your heart. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and it needs to be saved every day. Your mind has got to get renewed to the Word of God. In Romans chapter, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. I want to show you this. You got to get the Word in your mind. You got to start thinking like God thinks. You got to start believing like God believes. Because we will talk ourselves out of things. We will so talk ourselves out of the Word. If this Word is not established as your guideline in this life. But see, all that message earlier about the Spirit, the inner man, God may dwell in your heart by faith. That's the real you. But why is it most Christians live out of the soul? Most believers are living out of their soul realm. They never get established in their spirit man. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, who's he talking to? Who's the one presenting the body? Is it your soul doing it? Is it your mind doing it? Or is it your spirit man doing it? The inner man, the real you. The real you is the part of you that's got to do this. The inner man part of you that you may not be acquainted with real well yet. But that's the part, your heart, your inner core being, the heart, your being, your spirit has got to be the part that presents the body. Your spirit has got to present the soul. Your spirit man has got to say, I want God more than anything. And he says, you, the real you, the real inner man you, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, you do it. You present that body. And then he says, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Okay, who's not going to be conformed? The real you. How do you not do that? Well, you do it by renewing your mind, which is your soul. So you're really in control of what you even think. You're supposed to be in control of what you think, how you feel, everything. Your life is supposed to be in your control. The real you. You do it. You present. I got another verse I'll show you that connects to that. See, Paul understood how important it was to live out of the spirit man, how to live out of your spirit. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. How? Well, he says, I do it. I keep my body. I tell my body how much to eat. I tell my body how much to sleep. I tell my body how much to talk. I tell my body how to feel. I tell my body it's healed. I tell my body there's no pain in it. I tell the pain to get out of my body. I keep my body. Who keeps the body? The inner man keeps the body. The real you keeps the body. You're supposed to be living out of your spirit man. That's where Christ dwells in your heart, by faith, to the inner man. And you comprehend this. Oh, it's powerful way of life. Powerful. So Paul says, I keep under my body and I bring the body under subjection. See, most people are body ruled. They've got the order reversed because that's what happened in the fall. How far we fell as a human race. We became a body, soul, and spirit was on the bottom, dormant. But the whole reversal thing, the whole reversal of the order through Christ now is spirit, soul, and the body's on the bottom. The body's supposed to have the least dominating part of your, not supposed to dominate you at all. Because that's where all sin was crucified, in the flesh. Paul said, no good thing dwells in me, that is my flesh. Your flesh is not the real you. It's just an earth suit. It's your body. Jesus has created and provided a way for you to now dwell by faith in him through the inner man. And you can live your life out through the Spirit, through his help. God, thank God for his help. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 since we're here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, you got a new way of life now. And we want to serve God with the old way of living. We want to think we're going to be a Christian and still keep doing the wrong things we've done. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't happening. Go with me to Proverbs 20:27. I just want to go give you these scriptures real quick. Since the Holy Spirit gave them to me this morning, I'm going to go through them real quick. Proverbs 20:27. Y'all want some new clothes? Ask God for some new clothes. You want some new shoes? Say, God, I need some new shoes. I call them in. I'm calling some new shoes in the name of Jesus. Amen. I need some money, God. Oh, I call that money in. Money come in the name of Jesus. Angels, go out and bring that money in. This is how much I need. I call it in the name of Jesus. You know, you speak to your circumstances. You, out of your inner man, do this. Not out of your head, not out of your emotion. The flesh profits you nothing, but the inner man profits a lot. The walk with God is a powerful way of life. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 27. Look what he says. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. See, your spirit, you have a spirit. Man has a spirit. Man is the only creature that has a spirit. Spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's how God talks to you. That's how God lights your way. That's how God illuminates your path. Your inner man is how God talks to you. Not out of your feelings. not out of what you think, not out of your emotions, not out of your reasoning senses, not out of all the, see, your physical senses are connected to the brain. See, this is where it gets hard. But see, people think out of the Spirit and not know the Word of God. You cannot do this without knowing the Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God. You got to plant that Word in your heart. Romans 8:14, I want to pull this one small verse out of this whole chapter. The whole chapter is powerful, but I just want to pull this one verse out and expound on it a moment. For as many as are led, how many are led? How many are led? You know what? I don't know that very many Christians are led by the Spirit of God. I think they're led by their soul realm. I think they're led by their emotions. I think they're led by their thinker. I don't think they know anything about being led by the Spirit of God. But he says the ones that are led, remember, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the inward belly. See, the Spirit of man is the only part that God talks to and leads you. So he says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's me. Now, do I miss God? Oh, yeah, because your brain will start figuring it out, calculating it. You know, this just makes more sense. See, we have to get away from our old senses, our physical senses, our calculating senses. Well, I've done this before, and this is what worked before. Now, if you could just listen to God through your spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, be led by your spirit, I would trust my spirit over my head any day. I will trust my head over my emotions any day. I mean, my spirit. I will trust my spirit. My spirit. Trust my spirit. Trust who keeps your body under? I keep my body under. Who presents your body? You present your body, a living sacrifice. See, we've got to start understanding we are the real us is here, and this is where God lives. And then go to verse 16. Verse 16, so the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. This is a real important revelation, because you can trust the Holy Spirit to bear witness with your spirit. You can just trust Him. Trust Him on this one. Trust Him. You can trust Him on anything. Trust Him on that. He knows best for you. And if you feel a check in your spirit and you go to do something and your belly is saying, no, 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 but it all looks right, it all feels right, it all feels like I think you should do it a bit. Listen to your belly. Listen to you. The real you knows what's best. And then you will be so far better off. This taught me to drop the curtain. Drop the curtain behind anything, good or bad. And just keep going on. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Okay, I'll mark that up for experience. Because there's no retreating in the kingdom. It's always moving on. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if anything I be otherwise minded, God will reveal that unto me. Paul said, that's the one thing I do. And I've learned it to be the one thing I do too. Because I don't beat myself up over stuff. I say, Lord, forgive me, and it's over. I don't even have to talk Him into forgiving me. The minute He's faithful and just to forgive me, if I confess it, He said, I'm faithful and just to forgive. He forgives me. I have to forgive me too. Now, who do I think I am, bigger or better than God, not to forgive me? I forgive me pretty quick so I can get on with life, get on with the next project, get on with the next plan. Amen. And see, the Word of God just helps you sort it all out. But verse 22 of Ephesians 4 says that you put off concerning the former conversation or way of life. That word conversation is also translated way of life. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, who does that? You do it. And you, that you put off concern, the real you is the part he's talking to. He's talking to your heart. You put off that old way of life. You put off the way old way of doing things, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, the lust of the flesh, lust of the soul. But he says, and put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you put on, you start walking in this new man life person. Start living in a new man. Living through the new man. Live through the spirit. Live through the heart. Start living out of your heart. For, you know, in Romans chapter 10 talks about how that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I can tell you for sure that when your flesh is screaming and your mind is screaming, your spirit man, if you've been practicing this, your spirit man will take over automatically. Mm-hmm. And your faith will be there for you. It won't fail you. Your faith will not fail you. I believe if I was in a coma, that my spirit man never sleeps, my spirit man would still believe God. My flesh wouldn't have a thing to do with it. My soul wouldn't have a thing to do with it. My body's not going to believe God, but my spirit's going to believe God because I'm establishing some word. That's all I'm required to do is believe the word of God. Glory. Okay, Hebrews 4. I'm just about finished. Hebrews 4:11 says, labor to get into something called God's rest. Do you labor? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, that if any man, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, verse 12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. See, there a lot of preachers, they'll say, well, ever ask people, say, well, what's your spirit? Well, is it your soul? A lot of people think the soul is the spirit, and it's not. The spirit is not the soul. The soul is not the spirit. There's two separate parts. Your spirit is the real you, your inner man, the old hidden man of the heart, and your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You can't be led by that. And finally, this last verse, I want to give you one more. 1 Peter 3. Everybody, starting with verse 3, and we're going to read 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of a gold or putting on of apparel. Now, he was talking about women have a real issue with the outward man because they like to adorn it and spend all. You know, that's not what you adorn. You adorn the real you. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm the worst. That God had to deal with me about, you know, how much time do you spend in the Word compared to how much time you stay in front of that mirror? Seriously. So that's the key. But look what he says. But, here's the but word. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. The adorning must be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Are you kidding me? I'm not, that part of me is not a mess. That's the one part of me that's not a mess. It's been redeemed. It's not corruptible. It's been transformed. It's not been transformed. It's been redeemed. It's your mind that gets transformed. But it's your inner man. Look what he says. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I have practiced, worked on having this quiet, meek, and peaceful heart, spirit. Most people have no rest. They don't know how to enter into his rest. Anybody ever just been so tortured and tormented mentally and you find a place where God is, the secret place, and you find this place of awesome peace and rest? Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm kind of convinced I don't care what comes along. I know how to find my rest. I'm not the hidden man of the heart. Father, I just seal this word today. I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time together. I thank you, Father, that we have fellowshiped with you today in your word, over your word. We've broken bread together today. We've broken bread. We've shared the word. We've enjoyed each other. We just thank you, God. We thank you for the word of God that was so rich to us today. We receive it today. We ask you, Father, to give us ability to comprehend it and to really take hold of it and walk in it and to relish it and appreciate it and apply it and to get established in it and rooted and grounded in it, and that we can absolutely know that you love us and you're on our side and you want us successes, make us success and make us successful. And I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.